الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد Continuing from last week, we at the ending we said that in the following weeks we will try to understand the reality of Dajjal. And to understand who is Dajjal is important, necessary, not just as a waqia, as something amazing, fascinating, but to be able to understand whatever is happening in the world, whatever has happened, whatever will happen. In the light of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first step towards all that understanding is understanding the reality of Dajjal. If Dajjal's reality can be understood, and in a manner or in a step which is very, very strong, where the foundation is solid, then later on as you build on, even if it is slightly weaker, but the building will never crumble because the foundation is solid. The most appropriate manner that I have understood to understand the reality of Dajjal is that every person goes back and we start where the Sahaba radiallahu anhum started and we move up as they moved up. So if we start where they started, then there is hope that we end where they ended. What I'm trying to say is that whatever we have at the moment in our mind of Dajjal, that we have to put at the back of our mind. Because that was not where they started. That is why the conclusion they reached of the Dajjal and the conclusion we reach of the Dajjal is the east and west difference between it. So regarding Tamim Dari radiallahu anh seeing the Dajjal, which hadith is authentic, but that was not the first education they got of the Dajjal, so we will put that at the back of our mind. Regarding the period of the Dajjal, 40 days, which is mentioned in authentic ahadith, that will be put at the back of our mind. Where we will start is what Sahaba radiallahu anhum started hearing about Dajjal at the beginning, and we will start on that. And as they went up, then inshallah we will go up and we will try to see how finally we can come onto the same level which they ended on. However, important to understand is that whatever ulama have written regarding Ashratu Sa'ah, the signs of Qiyamah, the ahadith are sound, authentic, Hassan, some ahadith are weak. Thereafter the ulama, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala blessed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a tongue, that as Quran has mentioned verses which were understood by the people of the past and which will be understood by people of later times, and everyone will look at that verse and will say, hey, it meant this. But because the word was put in such a unique manner, it applied to the people of the past, it applies to the people of the future. When Allah tabarak wa ta'ala described to the people of Makkah Mukarramah the power of Allah, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala said, look at the earth, how we have made it flat for you, firash, like a carpet, wherever you walk. If Allah tabarak wa ta'ala at the beginning of time had to say, look at the earth, how we have made it round for you, then the people of Makkah Mukarramah would have laughed. And the purpose of the ayah would never be accomplished. That look at the qudrat of Allah, they would have denied it. They said, what round are you speaking about? So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala never said, I made the earth flat. He never said, I made the earth round. But a verse was used which applied to the people of the past when they looked at it, that look at the earth, how we have spread it out for you like a carpet. That when you walk, it is flat. And even today when people say the earth is round, but they'll add one sentence, but wherever we go on the earth, it is spread out like a carpet. So the words of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala applied at the beginning, easy to understand at the ending. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he described things which people will see at the ends of time, to explain it in words to the people of the beginning of time, example to say, you will see helicopters, aeroplanes, jets, machine guns, bombers. Now at the beginning of time, where there was no understanding of these things, what was the purpose? So such words were used, where the people of the beginning explained the words, understood it, narrated it. And the people at the ending, when they read it, they will say, most likely this referred to this in our time. For that reason, ulama, after looking at the ahadith, then they would make deductions. They would say, this hadith would refer to this, this hadith would refer to that. But the deduction that they would be making would be a man-made deduction, which has the possibility of being correct, and then it will be from the favor of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. It will have a possibility of being incorrect, and then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will create somebody else, and he will put it right. But the person who makes the ability to understand it, Allah will reward him. So what will happen now is, I will present to you, like how a lawyer presents in front of a court, that here are the proofs, here are the facts, here are the details. And because of all of that, I have reached this conclusion. You as a judge, you will hear it. After that, you can decide. If you reach the same conclusion, Mubarak. If you reach any other conclusion, everyone got the right to reach wherever he wants to reach. At the beginning, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, what they were taught of Dajjal by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One is what we all know, the greatest test my ummah will ever face. The thing I fear most for my ummah, and the du'as he would make, then Allah protect us from the fitna of Dajjal. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that every Nabi from Nabi Nuh alayhi salam till the ending warned his people of Dajjal. It means something unique. It's not a small man and not someone that few people must fear, something very, very unique. From Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, where every Nabi was mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will come at the end of time. From Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, every Nabi was mentioning that Dajjal will also be there. So you can understand, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the imam of haqq, the truth, piety, Dajjal is mentioned in a hadith, Masihud Dalala, the peak, the prime of evil will be Dajjal. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to Sahaba radiallahu anhu about his powers. The first is about Dajjal, Dajjal. And Dajjal means a man who got an amazing quality that whatever is a lie, he can cover it so beautifully that when you look at it, you will see this is 100% the truth. That is called Dajjal, to disguise. What we will in our time say, he's a magician. He is making magic. He has put black magic on the eye. You are looking at one picture, the reality is something else. This is Dajjal. He mentioned about his power. He'll be able to travel the world in a very short space of time. He will be able to speak and his voice will travel very, very far and wide. He will have the power to destroy those who reject, the power to reward those who accept. Mentioned a thin animal, he will make it fat. The milk of an animal, he will make it increase in quantity. Different powers, that was mentioned at the beginning. And Sahaba radiallahu anhum used to hear it and used to get very scared about this. What a powerful person this will be. Thereafter we find in the ahadith, and it was a demand of the ahadith, that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the imam of haqq, piety, the final of the anbiya, the peak of goodness, so you'll find long before his birth, the description of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was known amongst the people. It was mentioned in the previous books, which Quran mentioned in such a manner that when they see him, they recognize him better than their own sons also. Direct, what we will say, an explicit description was given. His father will be so and so, mother will be so and so. This family, the place of birth, the place of hijrah, where he will pass away. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life was described in the previous scriptures in a manner we can never imagine. But the demand is that as he was described and he was promised by every Nabi from the beginning, then as Dajjal is the peak of evil and as every Nabi from the beginning was warning of Dajjal, It should be that Dajjal's description should also be explicit. So that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seen, everyone will follow him. And when Dajjal is seen, everyone will say, we know you already. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's description came in the previous scriptures. Dajjal's description also came in the previous descriptions. As they knew Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's bodily features, and some books have shown they knew it better than what the Muslims later on were told. Certain ulama have mentioned pictures were given, pictures where a person could take out a picture and say, is this that Muhammad that lived amongst you? The Sahabi looked at it, he was shocked. He said, this is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You got a picture of him. He says, and who is this other man next to him? He says, that's a picture of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Where you got this picture from? Pictures. So as the picture was given, the previous scriptures got descriptions of Dajjal which are also unique. Which makes us understand that as they could recognize Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam better than their own son, they recognized Dajjal better than their own son also. The only problem is, which is mentioned in the books of ahadith and history, that the Jews made changes there also. And the type of change that they made was that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out, and Sahaba radiallahu anhu told them that you all told us that this is the man to follow, then they explained to them, you all are mistaken. Rather, our Masih, the man we are waiting for, is somebody else. And then they would say, come, I'll show you. What they did, it whatever was described as Dajjal, they now linked it up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they said, this is the awaited Masih. With this man, we will take over the world, not anybody else. And until today, they wait for the Lord. So to recognize Dajjal, there are two ways to go to it. One is to look at how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described Dajjal. And as soon as you will see him, you will say, this is him. You will take qasam. I can take qasam. This is Dajjal. Because my Nabi recognized him, described him, and I recognized. And the easier way or the more quicker way will be that you just look who the Jews took as their awaited Masih. Who the Jews finally said, this is the man with which we will take over all the Arabs. And this is the man with which we will rule the world. And if you find that man, you got Dajjal. And in the books of Ahadith, the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the qasams of Sahaba radiallahu anhu, the qasam of a Sahabi, the statement of a Sahabi was unique, a qasam of a Sahabi. Not one qasam. A Sahabi says, I'm prepared to take 10 qasams. Through the qasams of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, we will find it all pointing towards one figure in history, who they all said that this is Dajjal, nobody else. That person who we understand in the books of Ahadith, and which many of those who studied the books of Ahadith heard about. In the books of Ahadith, different names were given to him. Abdullah was his name. More famously known as Ibn Sa'id, Ibn Sayyad, Ibn Sayyad without Alif Lam, Sa'if, Saf, Sayyaf, different names got to do the same thing, what we will now call Ibn Sayyad till the ending. Ibn Sayyad was a Jew who was born in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But now we will go through narrations. And as I told you, Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu and his Dajjal, we will keep it in the back of our mind. Because we are going up the ladder which Sahaba radiallahu anhu climbed to recognize who is Dajjal. And when you will climb it, then Tamim Dari and his Dajjal will one day come back into the picture. And we will meet him also, we will meet Ibn Sayyad also. But imperative to find Dajjal is to walk up the ladder of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Regarding the birth of Ibn Sayyad, what we will now call Dajjal, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been quoted. The Sahabi radiallahu anhu narrating is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Imam Tirmizi has narrated, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal has narrated. Imam Tirmizi has quoted on the hadith, termed it as Hasan, meaning a good narration. Other scholars differed. They said because of a certain narrator, Ali bin Zayd bin Jada'an, the narration should be termed as Da'if. Whatever it is, it makes no difference to the facts we are mentioning, because this is a point which is no proof, which is just given as a tamheed and introduction to make it more exciting. Otherwise, the proofs of Ibn Sayyad being Dajjal will be mentioned after, which are very, very strong. So as a tamheed, even a da'if narration is more than sufficient. And if some have narrated it as Hassan, then it is like Nur ala Nur. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us, the parents of Dajjal will wait for 30 years, during which time they will have no child. Thereafter they will be given a child, A'war, who will have a fault in his eye. Adarru shay, certain narrations have mentioned Adras. Certain ulama have said both are supposed to be there, because of other narrations bringing Adras got to do with his teeth was out. Adarru shay'in wa aqalluhu manfa'ah. He will be a child who is only harm and no benefit. Tanamu ayna wa la yanamu qalbu. Later on I will mention, if we ever get time, that we will find Dajjal and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are similar in many aspects. Here is one. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about himself that my heart never sleeps, my eyes sleep. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about Dajjal, when he will be born, his heart will never sleep, his eyes will sleep. His eyes will sleep, his heart will never sleep. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described for us his parents. He said his father will be a tall man, darbul laham, very thin. Ka'anna anfahu minqar, his nose will be like the beak of a bird, meaning a long nose. His mother will be firdakhiyya, a very fat woman, huge in size. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu then says, we heard of a boy born amongst the Jews. And we heard that same descriptions were fitting him. So we said, we have to go and see this. He said, I went accompanied by Zubair bin Awam radiallahu anhu. We entered, we met the parents, and we found the description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam for the parents was exact. How the father was, how the mother was, everything was there, unique. So very worried, they said, do you all have a child? Because already that fear was there. So the parents said, you know what, for 30 years we waited, no child. For 30 years. And then we got a child, but when he was born, there was a defect in the eye. Other narrations will show it was in the right eye that he was blind in the right eye. And the father said a unique sentence, that boy, أَضَرُّ شَيْءٍ وَأَقَلُّهُ مَنْفَعٍ. That is only harm, 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 no benefit. And the other thing is, his eyes sleep, but his heart doesn't sleep. The father was saying. Immediately we left the father, we asked, where is the boy? At that time, most likely he had grown up slightly, but not much. Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was speaking in his cradle from a very young age. As I mentioned, Dajjal will resemble Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in many qualities. Ulama have mentioned he will resemble Isa alayhi salam in many qualities. Masih ud-dalalah. Masih is called Masih. Isa alayhi salam is Masih. If you ever have time, we will mention how he resembles Isa alayhi salatu wasalam in many aspects. How he resembles Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in many aspects, and why he made the resemblance. So here, Isa alayhi salam spoke in the cradle as a very young boy. Whatever the age of this Ibn Sayyad at this time was, but he was already speaking. He was already speaking, and not like a small baby, but he was speaking unique things. His growing up was very, very fast. So we went out, he was in the sun, he was like upside down, covered with a blanket, and he was mumbling something. We went up to him and we removed the blanket. And he looked at us and he said, what are you all saying about me? Ma qultuma. We said to him, have you heard what we were speaking about you? He smiled and he said, you know me, my eyes sleep, my heart never sleeps. Hafiz Baghawi has narrated this in Sharh al-Sunnah with his sanad also. At the ending, he ends the narration with, falam yazal Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mushfiqan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always had the fear ala ummatihi, that Ibn Sayyad huwa Dajjal, that this boy here is Dajjal. Imam Bukhari has narrated from Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, which I mentioned. Now the proofs of him being Dajjal are strong, although that was termed by many as a da'if narration, but it never harmed. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu says that my father Umar radiallahu anhu went with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam with a delegation of Sahaba radiallahu anhu towards Ibn Sayyad, meaning his house. At that time he was now nearing what we will say puberty, until they found him playing with a group of youngsters in an orchard of Bani Mughala. Ibn Sayyad was not aware that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was near until Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam hit him with his hand. And he said, "Oh Ibn Sayyad, do you bear witness that I am the Rasul of Allah?" He says, Ibn Sayyad looked up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said, "I bear witness that you are the Rasul of Ummiyin. You are the Rasul of the Arabs. You are the messenger of the Arabs." And then Ibn Sayyad, he asked a unique question and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave a unique answer. He said, "Do you bear witness, O Muhammad, that I am Rasulullah?" The translation we will all make of it is, "Do you bear witness that I am the messenger of Allah?" And the answer will be, "Definitely not." But his wording was, "Do you bear witness that I am Rasulullah?" Had Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said never, then the answer would have been obvious. But look at the answer of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "I believe in Allah and all that he has sent." Ulama explaining this here, trying to explain why didn't he say no? I mean, what doubt was there him being a prophet? But they said it's very possible Ibn Sayyad was not saying as a prophet, Rasul, but Rasul in the meaning of Mursal. "Do you bear witness that I have been sent by Allah, like how you were sent for Hidayah, I have been sent for Dalala, to make everyone astray." So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "I believe in Allah and whoever he has sent. Do you bear witness that I am the Rasul of Allah?" Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, "Ma tara? What do you see?" So he said, "Ya'tini sadiqun wa kadhibun." Sometimes people come to me, meaning jinnat. Already where the angels were coming to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at a very young age. The stones were speaking to him, the tree was covering him. He was not yet the Rasul of Allah, everything was happening. Where Ibn Sayyad was young, the jinnat were already coming, visiting. He said, "Sadiq and kadhib approach me." People who speak the truth, because the jinnat sometimes they tell you something that is right, and many times they tell you something that is wrong. He said, "Sometimes they bring the truth to me, sometimes they bring lies to me." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "That's why the matter for you is always confused. Because you got truth and falsehood. You don't know what is what." Thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "I got something in my mind." Now look at this. This is not a young boy, that's normal. He said, "I got something in my mind. Can you tell me what's in my mind?" Ibn Sayyad looked, and then he said, "Huwa duh." At that time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his mind had a verse of Quran of Surah Dukhan. And an entire verse, "Fartaqi biyawma ta'ti sama bi dukhanin mubin." But when he looked, he could not get the whole verse, because this is how the jinnat work. They are only able to snatch little. So duh, which ulama explained, either he only got the word duh or he got ad-dukhan. That what you got in your mind is something in Surah ad-dukhan, or it's got something to do with smoke. Thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba, "You see, I told you, he got a certain level he can reach, he can't reach the top. Because truth is not his, but he got a certain level to reach." Umar radiallahu anhu said, "If this is the Dajjal, I will save the Ummah now and now." He said, "Oh Allah's messenger, let me just knock his neck off." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Iyyakunhu." Listen to this answer, unique answer. "O Umar, if he is the Dajjal, falan tusallata alayhi, then you will never manage to kill him." At that time, Umar radiallahu anhu said, "What do you mean I won't manage? I'll show you now. You will never manage to kill him if he is the Dajjal." Why? We'll explain later on. "Wa illam yakun," and if he is not the Dajjal, then why must you kill him? If he is not the Dajjal, why must you kill him? If he is the Dajjal, you won't manage to kill him. Remember this answer, later on it will come again. Salim says, the son of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu an, that Abdullah bin Umar said, after that again Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went with Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu an to the garden where Ibn Sayyad was. Meaning many a times it would happen. And again Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hiding. He doesn't want Ibn Sayyad to see him, to see what's happening. Again he was covered with his shawl. And again he was mumbling, meaning speaking to his jinn. The mother, she noticed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was spying. She said, "Oh Saf, Muhammad is here." Said Ibn Sayyad, immediately lifted up. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if only the mother had kept quiet, we would have known now the reality of this boy. Meaning the secret would have come out, we would have known what he's saying. But it was left. If it was left on that, then we would have all have thought, perhaps like how certain people have mentioned, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it seems, was never sure. And later on he retracted. But it wasn't left like that. Time is almost up. A lot left to say. Inshallah, we will continue next week. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah.